Hello, welcome back to Boxing Conversations with Tris Dixon. I think that might be the name, I'm not sure. But I hope you enjoyed the last episode with Caleb Plant, and we're back now with Paddy Donovan. I was ringside for Paddy Donovan to fight, who fought Lewis Crocker in Belfast earlier this year, in one of the most wild fights and sort of wild set of circumstances I can recall being at a fight for, with Donovan a mile ahead on points, but having lost a couple of points along the way, he dropped and arguably stopped Lewis Crocker with a shot that came after the bell and was disqualified. He was thrown out, and he was hugely emotional that night. I went into the dressing room, spent some time with him, and he was in tears, and Andy Lee was trying to console him, and he's had a bit of time to sort of deal with what happened that night. But you can see it's clearly taken an effect on him. But it was really good to be able to sit and talk with Paddy Donovan very recently. And I really hope you enjoy this conversation. Again, leave feedback. Let me know what you think of these conversations, if you're enjoying them, what you think of the length. Rate and review where possible, if you can. And there's plenty more to come if you are enjoying them. But let me know. Keep me updated. Rate, review. Give us a 5-star rating if you can, and I hope you enjoy Paddy Donovan. So Paddy, you got a smile on your face. Fed say you didn't have a smile on your face last time I saw you. What's changed? I mean, how's the impact of what happened affected you the last few weeks?
Yeah, Tris, it's been quite different. It's been quite challenging, to be fair. It's not what I was used to. I'm used to always getting congratulated after fights. Now this time around, it's, did you hear the bell? Did you hear the bell? Blah, blah, blah. So it's been strange. It's been difficult, I guess. But I kept as far as away social media that I possibly could and just spent some good time with my kids and family. So I'm doing all right, I guess.
What was the, is the feedback being mixed? Is there some people that out there saying that you're a dirty fighter and then some people saying that there's a lot of sympathy for you? Is it split, or do you feel like it's been pretty positive? Obviously, I know that you've been granted the rematch by the IBF.
Yeah, look, I didn't really look into things like that in social media. I just kept as far away from me as possible. But what I've heard everywhere I've gone, everyone I've met, they've all said it was wrongdoing, and they kept asking when I was going to get the rematch. And obviously, thankfully, I got the rematch. So it proves getting the rematch proves that the decision was quite wrong on the night.
How emotional, or how long did you stay emotional for in the aftermath? Obviously, you were really upset on the night.
Yeah.
Did that last for days and weeks, or was it something, you know, Andy was able to get in your head, and Keith, and they were able to say, look, you know, there's positives to come from this?
Yeah, look, as the days went by, obviously, for your kids and things like that, you try to be as happy and try to be as cheerful as you can. But obviously, inside, it really hurted. I was so close to fighting for the championship of the world. So then to be taken away in that 8th round, in dramatic fashion, was a crazy feeling. And it was one that I found it very, very hard to get a grip of and to say, like to look back on exactly what happened. It's something a fighter doesn't really ever really think about is going to happen in a fight, really. Do you think they're going to win or lose? But to happen in the fashion that happened, was quite challenging. It was quite different. But I have a great team around me, and I just got my spent some good time with the family and just kept away from the boxing world, really.
How happy were you with your performance that night up until everything went wrong? Like, how, you must have been happy. You know, people were talking about career best performance, you know, winning every round in a fight that people were dubbing almost 50-50. How, when you look back on it, and I guess you've watched the tape, how happy are you with how you performed?
Yeah, brilliant. If we're going to consider the performance, I think it was brilliant going to Belfast. It's a wonderful city to fight at. To a hostile crowd, fight challenged as 50-50, and to perform so well. I don't think Crocker won a minute of the 8 rounds. I think him and Billy underestimated my strength, my skill, and they paid big on the night first. I think they're even going to pay him bigger in the rematch.
So Lewis put something out a while, I think before the IBF approved it, saying, you know, that's the fight I want. Are you surprised that he wants the rematch, or do you understand, he's a fighting man and he wants to right the wrong himself?
Yeah, no, fair play to Lewis. Take my hat off to him. He stepped up and he manned up, and he was happy to fight again. Obviously, when the IBF ordered a fight, there's not much he can do. But for him to come on social media and say that he wants to rematch, it tells you a lot of a character that he is. So, fair play to him, and it's time to run it back.
Were you surprised how the first fight was unfolding in terms of your control and dominance? Because, like I said, people were talking 50-50 fight in there, and it wasn't 50-50 in there.
Yeah, look, as I said, probably the year before that, they would have said 80-20 to him. The performances, the way he was going, I think. But when you're in the ring with me, Tris, I think I have, and Andy will tell you, and anyone that's seen me sparring, they tell you I've a knack of taking away the advantages of a good fighter to actually let them express their disadvantages against me. I have a great manner about going about things in the ring. I think I've how can I say it? I'm quite intelligent, very, very smart, and I knew exactly what Lewis was good at, and I knew how to take that away from him, and I did that exactly from round one. I didn't let him be himself, and that was the game plan.
Next time out, can you avoid what happened in what called when was it? February, March. Can you avoid that
Nice.
happening again? And obviously it was some people blamed you for going in head first,
Yeah.
and you showed the speed and skills and pivoting
Yeah.
off that lead foot that showed that you didn't need to actually perhaps get in quite so close.
Yeah, look, as I said, when you're in the fight, you don't know exactly what's happening. I obviously felt very, very in control, but again, when you look back, you'd say, okay, if I could have done a few things different, fair enough. But yeah, look, I'm just happy to get the rematch, and I feel like Lewis can't hurt me. I don't think he has the punch that hurts me, and I don't think if he can hurt me, I don't think he can beat me. So I have a lot more confidence this time round than I do in the last one. I'm expecting Lewis to be on his best game in the rematch, but I feel like I can't be beaten on that night.
Does it give you an indication as well as where your ceiling might be now you fought someone at that level and performed the way that you did, in the sense that you might be above this level, you are a world level talent, which is something Andy said from the get go, right?
Yeah, look, I was expressing it in the fight, as you could see, Chris. It was like going to Belfast, going to a hostile crowd. It was just really one way traffic throughout the fight, I think. The whole way, the whole game plan was bang on. The condition of me was bang on. I think I had everything implemented, everything to the T. So to feel like I was levels above on the night, I believe in the build up, the way I was sparring, I brought in some amazing sparring to Saudi Arabia. I felt like the confidence I had and the ability I had against ex-world champions. I knew that Crocker couldn't live with it in the ring. I knew that I was just that little bit too good for him. So it ended for me quite tragic, but in the performance wise, I was quite happy.
Yeah, when you say about that sparring, you were sparring with Avanesian, among
Yeah,
others, right?
sparring Avanesian, great sparring. Former world champion. Still a good fighter, but like I just felt the condition I was in and the way I was sparring, the things I could do in sparring, and everything Andy was asking me to do in the gym, I was just banging off it. I was just clicking, everything was clicking right into place. I just felt like I just knew I wasn't going to be beaten. And I remember one time David Apatissian came to me and he said, "I don't know your opponent, I don't know how good he is, but I know he's not going to beat you." So to hear things like that gives me that extra little bit of confidence.
And on fight night, you made a point of shouting out George Lockhart for your
Yeah.
nutrition, right? And he's someone you've added to the team. So, I suppose, tell me how you're feeling differently ahead of training sessions, post-training sessions, with the fueling that you're doing via George, who's obviously worked with Tyson Fury and a number of other top fighters, Joe Parker as well, obviously the guys in the camp. How different are you feeling? Is it a case of that you're recovering
It's
better and feeling better as a consequence?
Yeah, look, as I said, as I have gone through my career quite easily in the performances, I was really in cruise control. I was never really in a fight so far in the 15 fights where I can say that, well, the 14 before Crocker, that I was ever in trouble, or ever hurt, ever marked, even a black eye yet. Virtually absolutely not. But that was just raw of raw talent, you know, the work with Andy. But even though I work extremely hard, it's to become the complete athlete, to become a proper professional athlete, you need to add on all these extra little things. And the things that I've done with George as a strength conditioning coach, never mind the nutrition, I never had a nutrition. I just went off the way I was training to take down the weight more than be watching my food and things like that. Just raw talent, really. But with George, the nutrition came into play. The science that I've never seen about the sport came into play, and the strength conditioning and the things he was doing with me in the gym, I have never done. So, and he was so shocked and so in disbelief of the things that I've actually never done so far. And like, I've never stretched, honestly. Andy can tell you the same thing. I never actually walked into a gym and started stretching, neither before or after. Something I've never did. I've never had an injury, never had, absolutely not. Just went in, put on a pair of gloves, and just go to work. I don't know, is that just the way I came up along and from a tough family or neighborhood? I'm not sure. But yeah, just, but as you push on to become one of the best fighters in the world, you need to add on these little things. And I think I couldn't ask for any better than George.
So, you know, in the Kronk, obviously Andy sparred.
Andy was practically the same way throughout his career, you know. Well, Andy went a little bit further than me to become a world champion. Andy, as the Kronk style you might know of, it's just about sparring and, you know, the very simple things, but the most effective things. But obviously the sport has changed now, and you can get a few more years out of your career and things like that, and you bring in these extra little bits and pieces, and I think that's exactly what I did for the last fight. So we got to see. Maybe it's
Those
working.
little 1%, isn't it?
1%, yeah.
So let me ask you this. So Andy obviously has told me, you know, he moved around with Vladimir Klitschko
Yeah.
back in the day, and you know, size wasn't a thing in the Kronk. You know, you move around, you know, obviously if, and I know other gyms are like it in the sense that, you know, if you're a smaller guy, they might put you in with a big guy, but obviously the big guy's not going to take liberties, but you'll be pecking away the same way the big guy's going to be working on his speed and different things. So are you going to be getting rounds in with Ben Whitaker, Hamza Shiraz, and Joseph Parker? Do you think
It's
that's...
funny. It's funny you've asked that, because the week after that fight, Andy invited me up to watch Ben training in Dublin, so I brought my wife and kid Una up with me, and I fight obviously at welterweight, 66.6 kilogram, and I seen Ben. I was chatting to a nice guy, and he was warming up, and Andy said he's finding it very, very hard to get sparring for Ben. And I turned around and said to Andy, I said, Andy, I'll spar him now. Andy just looks in disbelief. Paddy, he's a light heavyweight. You know, you can't spar him. He's very, very strong. I was like, oh, is he that big? But yeah, like, I'm sure if we can do this next time together, which I think we will. I think I fight around September. Ben should be back in action probably around that time. And Joseph also. I think we'll get some rounds in, yeah.
It's a hell of a camp now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. You know, like, I started off with Andy back in 2020 together, just me and Andy. We did practically everything together. Just me and him in the gym, 9 o'clock every morning, walking to the gym, just me and him, leaving the gym, going to the gym, leaving the gym, going to the gym, for years. To now have Joseph Parker in the camp, to now have Ben Whitaker in the pa camp, and Andy's new fighter. So yeah, things has changed.
And in terms of that, you said September, it's looking like possibly going back to the Lions Den as well, right? Back to Belfast.
Yeah, it probably looks to be Belfast. I think look, Belfast is a wonderful city. Obviously, I'd like it down south, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with Belfast. If they run it back in Belfast, we'll do exactly that.
Were you surprised at how hostile it was? Because, you know, I think people were talking like maybe it'd be 60-40 and you're going to have a couple of thousand there, but it was pretty, the numbers weren't on your side.
Yeah, do you know what? It's funny to say it. I know you might think I'm actually lying, but it's on the walkout. I don't know, is it a thing that fighters do? Am I the only fighter? I'm not sure. Or is every other fighter like this in the hostile crowd? But honestly, I could only hear my crowd. It's funny, maybe I was looking to hear just the support for me. And I remember the walkout. There wasn't a nerve in my body. There was nothing scaring me, absolutely nothing. I could only see and hear my fans. I know that might find a bit I look back some of the videos and TikTok, and I said, what? Listen to this walkout. Crackers are up it. But for me on the walkout, I just felt like I never heard his crowd. I just heard mine. And yeah, so that's the way it was. I had no nerves. I had no funny feelings in the ring. I just felt like it was just the right time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you really if you left feeling a bit like the people's champion, because people did think you were hard done by, but also it was Lewis's crowd to a degree as well. So I suppose that's not really one that you could answer with any kind of certainty, right?
Yeah, well, to be fair, I've got a lot of messages from his support, from his fans saying they're fans of Crocker, but he did an amazing job, and you should have got the fight. And a lot of support from his was texting me. So yeah, I think I did all right. I know the way the fight ended was not the way it was supposed to, but it is what it is. As I said, I've a great team around me. Andy Lee, Kiro Sullivan from New York, he filed an amazing appeal, 27-page appeal. Got some amazing footage of the fight, and brought in some former World Hall of Famer referees and coaches, referees and judges to analyze the fight and get their opinions, and brought it towards the IBF Boxing Board of Control, and obviously they voted on the rematch and believe the decision of disqualification shouldn't have happened.
How many times have you watched it back? Have you watched it back a load?
I haven't watched it back once actually. I've never watched one of my fights back. And I don't plan to really.
But you've seen the highlight, you've seen the
I've
ending.
seen, yeah, let's say when I got back on social media, I've seen the, let's say the highlights of people tagging me in bits and pieces like that, 20 and 30 seconds clips. But to look back at a full fight, I've never done it in my career so far. Maybe it'll change. Maybe for this fight, Andy might want me to study it a bit more because the rematch has never happened. But I wouldn't be. I am not really a fan to look back on myself. I like to leave it in the past, really.
When you look back at the stoppage, though, like it's a game of inches, isn't it? It's a game. It's a split second.
Yeah, split second. Look, there was two breaks in that round, the eighth round. Obviously, the point getting deducted, it took 10-15 seconds from that round. Then you had me dropping Crocker. Then that count. And I wasn't really in tune with the time, and obviously the timekeeper didn't clap for the last 10 seconds. So, and the ref wasn't really in the position either to stop the fight from happening. I was throwing a combination to finish Crocker, and the crowd was really on my side at that point. And I just never heard that final bell, I guess.
When do you think you'll start camp, given it could be September? Or are you taking over now?
I'm taking over now, but. Camp, I'd say in the next few weeks. I think Joseph will be back soon. Andy's in holiday right now for another few days. He has invited me back up when he's back. So probably in the next week, I'm going to go back up to see Andy and get some work back in with him, and get the head down for September.
And how much hunger do you go back to camp with?
It's right now. I'm actually. It's. I'm not really now. Since the fight, I have not been one bit hungry. I'm going to be honest about it. I didn't even want to go to the gym, really. I don't even want to train. It's probably the first time in my career where I just wanted to knock off and not even look at the sport. It's a different patch for me. But yeah, since the fight has been made, and I see him getting tagged in bits and pieces on social media now, and the fight's getting built up, I'm getting itchy knuckles to go back in. I've no worry about the fight. I feel like that if I just put the work in the camp, I'll be all right in the fight. But I just need to get my head back in the game, really.
Can you start to feel that fire a little bit? Like it's like the match has been struck already.
It really kicks off when I'm around like sporting people, the likes of Andy Lee, Joseph Parker, Ben Whittaker. It feels like if I'm in that environment, I really switch on. I don't do a thing wrong. But right now, when I'm with family, it's the summertime. I don't know, is it just me or is it all the fighters? But it's hard to when you switch off to switch back on. For me, I find it quite difficult. But now I've got something I suppose to look forward to. When Andy's back, I'll be back cracking.
Yeah, sure. And I guess it's quite a big driving force to put this chapter to bed, right?
Yeah, look, it's time to get the job done good and proper this time, and just move on. Try to fight Ennis for this world title.
Yeah, brilliant. Paddy, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me. It's always nice to catch up, and good to see you smiling this time as well.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chris. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Paddy. Take care.
Have you God bless. Bye bye.